What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Outside the Litter Box. For today's episode, we are going to be talking about some pretty interesting stuff. Because this episode today is going to be lifestyle themed, and we're going to be talking about energy and motivation and discipline, kinda, and just really how to maintain a very stable amount of energy where, you know, you have this unlimited source from your body, from your physical body to even your mind, where you can maintain your flow of getting your responsibilities and everything you need to do done consistently most of the time. So yeah, I thought this would be a very interesting episode to do because we live in a very fast-paced world where burnout is a natural phenomenon. And with that said, you know, the pace of our society is so fast that a majority of us tend to be coffee drinkers because of it. And, you know, I see it all the time, like the morning commute, the morning route, like Tim Hortons, friggin' all the other coffee shops, you know, every single morning, there's always a humongous lineup because, you know, people need to get their coffee because they need more energy to get through their 8-hour shift or their 12-hour shift or just the day itself. And yeah, this is gonna be an interesting episode because basically I'm gonna give y'all's tips on how to get more energy with more than just coffee. And these ones that I've listed down are ones, some of them you would not really expect. Some of them are some of them are pretty obvious. And all in all, what I'm about to share with y'alls in this episode today is all these things I'm going to list down. These are honestly better than coffee in the long run, I would say, longevity wise, you know, and also for our overall like physical and mental health, and how in the long run, collectively, all of these, what I'm gonna list down, yeah, collectively, these are all better than coffee because they will last longer than coffee, and some of them will even give you such a long period of energy to the point where your body will start to automatically feel like it has more energy even before you get your coffee. Also, just disclaimer here, I talk too fast. Also, just a disclaimer here, I am not a doctor, I am not any person of importance in the medical field. I am just a person who thinks a lot and is curious about many, many things in this world, and I read a lot, so this is how I have my knowledge. But then again, I'm not licensed or professional, so obviously whatever I say on this episode, you know, like, hear it with a grain of salt, and then Google it, you know? Just really fact check me, and then you'll have your complete answer. But anywho, so this is how this episode in particular actually how I actually thought of this episode in the first place. So I am on Pinterest. If you're on Pinterest too, please follow me. You know what to do. So I'm on Pinterest and I'm just on a sesh of literally just finding new things to pin on my board, right? And there's one pick that I saw called Energy Takers versus Energy Givers. And when I went, when I read through the list and compared it, I was like, well, oh damn, that is perfect to talk about on an episode. Because some of these things on this list, you would never think, like, logically, or just even, like, common sensely, you would never think that some of these things would give you or would help you and contribute to kind of like ample amounts of energy. And some of these, like, as much as coffee, more than coffee. And I like how this chart as well that I found on Pinterest also really also looks at the things in our lives that take energy from us. Meaning that sometimes you can have as much coffee as you can, or even matcha if you're not a coffee drinker. You know, if you're a matcha girly like me. My gosh, I talk too fast for my own good. But yeah, when I saw this part of the chart, I was like, well, there you go. There's another layer to the episode, because it's true. You know, you can take as much, you can consume as much whatever you need to consume. You know, just like you can eat as much fruit and vegetables as you can, but if you're eating like way more junk food and barely working out, for example, those fruits and vegetables that you might have consumed are, I don't know, I mean, they might do something, but they won't do a lot, because you know, it's more of an excessive amount towards the junk food and not really exercising. So it's kind of like that. Like, however much coffee you consume, you know, like 3 orders, 5 orders. I know people who order 5 cups of coffee in one day. Yeah, the chart where it says energy takers, it really poses an argument. It really poses a debate of, you can drink as much coffee as you want, darling, but if you do this, or if you have this in your life, then that coffee is basically pointless. So, I guess let's get started with the list. So, I'm gonna do this Nicole style. And we're going to start with a negative first. So we end off on a high note. We end off with the positives. So yeah, I am going to start with the side of the list where it says energy takers. And we're going to go through some of the habits that we, you know, sadly do. Some of us sadly do in our dailies. You know, I am guilty of it too. And also on this list of energy takers, you know, there's some things as well that are practical things that we can honestly just kind of incorporate more. Just try a little bit harder to drink more water, for example. All right, so basically let's get down to this list. So the first one on the list of energy takers is people pleasing. I mean, it makes sense. You know, I am an unfortunately people pleaser myself. I'm trying to get out of that habit for sure, but it's hard for sure, but still trying to. But yeah, like when you're people pleasing, right, you're basically allowing people to step out of bounds with you. You're basically allowing people to cross your boundaries, or you yourself don't have boundaries. And as a person who is also guilty of this, I can see why this is the first one on this list, because it eats at you when, like, spiritually and energetically, you are allowing people in your close vicinity to kind of stomp on your fine line of your boundaries, right? So, like, at work, let's say you're done all your tasks, you know, you finished everything you need to do for the week, but then your boss goes, "Can you do more work, please? Like, I really need help here." And you're free to say no, kindly, because you've already finished what you need to work on for the week. But people pleasing, you know, people pleaser you is like, okay, sure, but you actually wanted to say no. And then you're stuck doing this extra work when you were supposed to have a good weekend and kind of relax on the couch, just chilling and watching TV. But now you're stuck doing some work at home when you're supposed to just be chilling out. So obviously that extra work is going to eat the energy that you had for the weekend. You know, another example is, I don't know, you're not really in the mood to go out, but your friends want to go out, so you force yourself to go out because you don't want to rock the boat or cause a ruckus, so you go out anyway, but you know you wanted to stay home, and now you're out and about with little to no intention of having fun, really, because you didn't want to go out. So now, it eats your energy that you were supposed to have and conserve staying home. But yeah, honestly, people pleasing and a few of the others are one of those that you don't really think about, whether that actually kind of trumps on your energy source in your body and your mental space. Because at the end of the day, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy and a lot of time wasted doing something that you did not want to do. Another few on this list, you've got, you know what, I'm just gonna start with the ones that you probably didn't even think to be aware of as an energy taker. So there is, oh, this one's obvious. Fear, doubt, and stress. Those are obvious energy takers because, duh, stress sucks. There's overthinking. That's another obvious one. There is, that's practical, overworking. I kind of touched on that a little bit earlier. And that one's obvious too, because overworking leads to burnout, and burnout equals absolutely zero energy to even, like, want to lift your finger. And then living in the past is another interesting one as an energy taker, and also as something on this list that you wouldn't really think would take some of your energy away. I mean, if you're the mindful type, if you are aware of how your body and your mind feels when you are thinking uncomfortable thoughts, or feeling uncomfortable, if you are aware of that, then, you know, I guess it's pretty obvious to y'alls that living in the past can take away energy, because when you live there, it feels like this never-ending loop, this never-ending cycle of what could have been, of why did it happen, or it could have happened, like a bargaining kind of narrative here as well, of like, oh, I could have done this, or they could have done that, I should have said this, I should have done that. Living in the past takes away ample amounts of our energy because, again, it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes energy to even think about what happened 2 weeks ago, last year, 6 months ago, 5 years ago. And honestly, in my opinion, even worse when you're trying to think about something that happened 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Because it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of memory. And with memory comes effort mentally. Thinking about what happened exactly in the past, of like what made you upset, what was a misunderstanding, what was embarrassing, what was insulting, what was, you know, you guys get the gist. Living in the past is such a complex thing to do for our brains, which could also, which also connects to our physical states, because when our brains think about a memory like that makes us uncomfortable, obviously that will connect to our physical bodies and our nerves and really tense us the fuck up. Living in the past also takes away our energy because not only are we thinking about what happened that's not currently happening, but when you live there, you are consumed. Your aura, your energy bubble is consumed by how you remember that event. And it honestly, like, viciously eats away our energy, because what happened in the past, especially as time has gone by, even if 2 weeks have gone by, because it happened in the past and our memory in our brains, even if you have impeccable memory, you know, things that have happened 10 years ago, I am sure that you can't really remember every single detail of what happened in that event 10 years ago. And because of that, you know, our brains have to work extra hard to even remember it in detail, because we want to justify some kind of point that we were right, that we were wrong, that they shouldn't have done this to us because we didn't deserve it, and they should pay for it. Like, you know, just that whole thing of how a person thinks and feels when they're stuck in the past and they live in it. It's exhausting. And at the end of the day, it's honestly just a war within that person who is stuck living in the past, because of the way the past is. Nobody, like, the people that are part of, you know, that memory, that certain event that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 weeks ago, people that are part of that past event that you were upset at, those people most of the time have already moved on. So there's nobody there to really, like, have a conversation with, to negotiate, to talk it out with, because it's in the past. It basically doesn't exist anymore, because time keeps moving forward. And it's such a complex thing, and it's such a complicated thing, and it's such an exhausting thing, because there's really nothing any of us can do at all of what has happened in the past. And that's why it usually drains energy of people who are stuck there, because there is nothing they can do to fix the past, because they also don't want to move forward, or they can't move forward. And all in all, it drains their energy, because there's nothing there that they can gain. There's nothing there that they can learn. I mean, actually, there are things we can learn from our past. Scratch that. Sorry, what I meant was, there's nothing there that they can grow from, basically. The past is a dead end. And because it's a dead end, it will always drain our energy when we try to stay there, live there, and try to make a life there. And then the last two here, of energy takers that we never really thought would be an energy taker, is living mindlessly or on autopilot mode, and setting unrealistic goals. In my opinion, as well, I also think living in the past is part of living mindlessly or on autopilot. And honestly, I totally get that. You know, how it's an energy, like how it drains energy when you live mindlessly, because you're not living with intention. And a really good example of that is literally just settling for a decent job that pays okay, has a set schedule, but is not your passion. Pays the bills, but that's all it does. I'm not trying to diss anybody here, because at the end of the day, we all have responsibilities and we need to do whatever we need to do. But there are certain circumstances in the world where there are people out there who have a type of job that drains them. That literally drains their enthusiasm in life, and drains any ounce of motivation to get up in the morning or to look forward to another day. And sometimes that means, like, the way that they live their, you know, day-to-day schedule is just go to work, come home from work, eat stuff, and then go to bed. And then wake up again, go to work, come back from work, eat a little, then go to bed. You know, it's just like a repetition, and not really making any time to have a social life, to see their family, to explore their passions and hobbies, or to literally have some good old downtime for themselves. Living mindlessly or on autopilot drains energy, because people who live like that don't live with any intention, and they're not really present at all in their day-to-day lives. And when you're not present and setting clear intentions of how you want your day to go, whether it's Monday or Saturday or Wednesday, there's kind of this way of thinking that starts to happen when you live mindlessly. I'm not trying to argue here that it takes time and effort, you know, to live mindlessly, but it's more like when you set intentions for your day, when you are present enough to enjoy those intentions. Like, for example, you know, after work, you want to order in pizza because you bought some, no, sorry, you want to order in some pizza because after work you also want to stop by the LCBO and drink some wine or whatever you call it for your wine and liquor stores wherever you are in the world. Yeah, pizza, wine, and then you binge the newest season of Bridgerton. That's setting an intention right there, because energetically it makes you look forward to when you're finished work. It makes you look forward to coming home and not just take a nap or not just mindlessly scrolling social media with nothing to do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but when that's done constantly and, you know, you don't really set intentions to do something different that will excite you and bring in this energy of excitement, then mindlessly and just kind of, I don't know how to explain this, but like when a person lives mindlessly, it's like they're already operating on a lower level of energy. So I really don't know how to explain this, but basically because they're already operating on a lower like energy field, they don't really have much to spare. Ah, there we go. So like normally you've got people who live with intentions, you know, but it's kind of like in and out. Sometimes they live intentionally in their day to day, and then sometimes they just wanna just kind of relax on the couch and just scroll on social media, which is, there's nothing wrong with that because I do that too. But in a way, those people who are in and out of mindlessness and mindfulness, those people operate on a little bit more of a higher dose of energy because of that mindfulness that they incorporate sometimes in their daily lives. But like when you live mindlessly, your level of energy is already low. So you're already starting from like a lower end of the totem pole. And that's all you're gonna have for the day. So with living mindlessly, you're already starting from a low level, and it's just gonna go down from there. And then that's usually when burnout happens. And then for setting unrealistic goals, I mean, like, obviously this one is a little bit more obvious, because when you set an unrealistic goal, Like, this one's complex. Actually, never mind. It's not as complex. So, like, for example, you want to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks, or even better, you want to lose half your weight in, let's say, 3 months. That is an unrealistic goal, because that is a lot of weight to lose in a short amount of time. And usually, if it is achieved and accomplished, it's usually achieved in a very toxic way. And whether that person is experiencing the toxic results of achieving that weight loss, or experiencing the frustration of not achieving that weight loss, it still drains energy. Because one person here took, invested their time and invested their efforts and invested their expectations, which is mental energy and emotional energy, to really believe that they can lose half their body weight in 3 months. And when I say this, I am specifically talking about, like, this is just an example, because it's a good example. So, like, you got, like, somebody who's overweight, who weighs like 300-400 pounds, right? And they want to lose half their body weight in 3 months, which is not possible. So you've got one side frustrated. Frustration is energy. And everything that's connected to frustration, the emotions that are connected to frustration, is even more energy. So if y'all's are, you know, picking up what I'm putting down, then no wonder it's an energy drainer. And then you've got the other side, who has achieved and accomplished the results, but in a really toxic way, and their energy's still drained, because either they've burnt themselves out physically, because it's such a short amount of time to lose such a huge amount of body weight, or you've got, you know, they're currently experiencing a different mindset now because of what they've accomplished in a toxic way. And the way they're thinking now, you know, deep inside, they know they shouldn't be thinking that. And then you've got the tug of war going on in their minds of, like, should they do it? Should they not do it? Should they have done this, or should they have not have done this? And then again, emotionally, all of those feelings that are attached to how that person would think is energy that is being drained out of that person again. And then the rest on this list are the practicals. These are the drainers that makes sense, but we also don't really think about in the long run of how it'll affect us, like dehydration. And you've got too much screen time or social media. And then you've got, what else is here? Clutter and mess and not eating enough. And then you've got junk food. And then you've got no exercise, sitting for too long, which again makes sense, right? Because when you don't eat enough, you start to not only feel like dizzy and all that stuff, but it affects your mood. It affects your mood. You're already on a lower level of moving, thinking, talking, behaving, because food is energy, right? Because the minute food enters our system, we physically and mentally and emotionally, we automatically like perk up. You know, like one of those days where you wake up late and you have no choice but to like skip breakfast, and then for like the whole, not the whole day, maybe the whole day, but just for like a good few hours, you have eaten nothing and there's nothing in your system, and you're just out and about, literally just operating on such a low level of being, basically. And then the minute you eat that croissant, that lemon bar, that sandwich, that three-course meal, you know, just anything, immediately you feel like you're awake again. And oh man, the too much screen time one / social media, overstimulation is real, and overstimulation really has a way of draining energy. Because I honestly believe that's why dating apps are so exhausting, because it is done through our phones. So literally swiping for so long, just staring at blue light. Basically, it's no wonder that people are starting to get more and more tired of dating apps as a collective, because our eyes were honestly not meant to stare at a screen for hours on end without taking any breaks. Anyway, before I ramble on too much and I make this a 2-hour episode, I'm gonna move on to the energy givers. And I know I'm biased, I know I'm being biased right now, but I'm just going to mention briefly, for this portion of the episode. If you are curious, if you are adventurous and are interested in venturing off from coffee, in terms of your caffeine intake, join the green side and have a cup of matcha, because matcha has no crash and it gives you energy for 6 hours, which is more than what coffee could ever give y'all. Just saying. Okay, so I'm gonna start with the practicals first, because I feel like they are actually faster to work through and just explain. So some of them are, again, obvious, and then some of them are things that you would never think to give you ample amounts of energy. So yeah, let's start with the practicals. So there's vitamin D, duh, like that's an obvious one. You've got nourishing food, so that's like plant-based food, or just food that's not processed, just really whole foods. So that's like a lot of produce, it's a lot of lean meat. I really hate to sound like my doctor, but that's that. exercise, obviously. You've got enough water and being hydrated enough, fresh air. Who does not love a daily ounce of fresh air? You've got music, Duh, that is a common one. And then you've got prayer and meditation. Love those. Deep breaths. Those are important. And then self-care. Oh my gosh. I'm going to make another episode about self-care very soon, because at this point in my life right now, like, self-care is everything to me, and it has like a whole new meaning and a whole new place in my life. And yeah, I'm gonna share that with y'all soon. But anyway, what else is there? Positive affirmations. Telling yourself that you are wonderful, amazing, and magnificent. Like, who doesn't want to hear those words every day? Proper rest and sleep. That one is a very obvious one, and also a very important one, because I don't know about y'all's, but I've gone to work before where I've only had 4 hours of sleep, or even sometimes gone to somewhere where I've only had 2 hours of sleep, and I swear, trying to live my day-to-day with those hours of sleep, yowzas, it's not great, it's not pretty. And then you've got arts. Doing some being crafty and doing some creative projects, you know, on the side, making time for that, because it really has a powerful way, honestly, of taking your mind elsewhere than what you usually think about on a daily basis. And then we're going to move on to the other ones that are not as obvious, but once I say it, y'all are gonna be like, oh, okay, makes sense. Okay, so there is love and intimacy and meaningful connections. Now, I'm not telling all of y'all's to literally get you a significant other as soon as possible, just so y'all's could have ample amounts of energy now. No. But I'm just saying, those of you who are fortunate and lucky enough to have a partner, have a romantic relationship that's healthy, I'm so happy for y'all. So that's amazing, because your partner is an energy giver, and so are you to them. And honestly, this is going off meaningful connections as well with love and intimacy that's not romantic. So literally just like being close to your family, having a best friend, having a strong group of friends, or literally just having like multiple connections in your life that you trust, that you enjoy their company, and where you feel like you can be your most real self. Those are energy givers, because again, I think the point of this episode is emotion. Emotion is energy, people. It can be bad and good energy. Depends on how you use it and how you feel it. So with this point, the emotion you feel by being close to somebody you love and you care about, it produces really good freaking energy, because whenever they're around, you feel loved, you feel appreciated, you feel supported, you feel recognized, and those emotions have a way of forming these beautiful amounts and sources of energy that you can use during your day, during your weeks and months, to really motivate you and to really push you to, you know, get up out of bed and apply for that job you've always wanted to apply for. Basically, you loving other people and them loving you back sets both of y'all's for some really good freaking source of energy. Because it just pushes you to want to be your best, because you feel so loved and you feel, you know, there's somebody that there's somebody in your life that really believes in you. And with those kinds of emotions and feelings in a moment, it has a way of really like pushing you to do things that you thought you'd never do, whether that's working more overtime or driving for hours to get something or to do something for the one you love. You all get what I mean, you know? And then another one here is mindfulness and living in the present moment, which honestly go hand in hand. There is nothing like the present. That is more peaceful, more joyful to live in, and just more. There's nothing like the present that provides more contentment, you know? And again, with what I was saying, like, several minutes ago about, you know, living mindlessly versus living mindfully. With mindfulness, you know, it's not only about living with more intention, but it's also being present enough to understand what you want out of your day, out of your weeks, out of your year, and out of your life. And all in all, like, why these are such energy amplifiers, energy givers, is because once you make that decision to be more mindful and to be more present in your everyday, that's basically like a ticket to enjoying more things, more of the things that you want. And knowing that if you spent it doing the things that you didn't want to do, you know immediately that you would be having a shitty time. And with that awareness, you know intentionally not to do the things you don't want to do. And honestly, as this is the last fact of the list of this episode for today, this is honestly the game changer, I would say, out of the whole list. Because when you live more intentionally, when you live more mindfully, you have more boundaries and you're more decisive of what you want, and you also know yourself, you know, better than before. And all of those are honestly just a recipe for living your best life. And when you live how you want to, you're you're intentionally letting your body and your mind and your emotions experience life on the highest high possible. And when you operate from that frequency, you just develop this outlook and this sense of eagerness and intrigue to discover more joy, more love, you know, like what is kind of developing this perspective of like, what else is there for me, in such an enthusiastic way of asking. So all in all, as I close this episode for today, I think the biggest point of this episode is how much our emotions are sources of energy. Whether that is bad or good, it is determined in the way that we use it and experience it and feel it. And how, at the end of the day, joy, love, peace, contentment, feeling appreciated, feeling recognized, being supported, those emotions have the highest frequency of energy that we could ever experience in this life. And that is why those emotions are the biggest energy amplifiers and givers ever. And I hope that y'alls who have listened to this all the way till the end, I hope y'alls experience this more in your life. And I hope all of y'alls know that y'alls deserve to experience more of this in life. Anyway, so that was my episode for today. And as per usual, thank you for listening to Outside the Litter Box. Bye-bye.